Welcome to Cuckoo Bananas. I'm joined, as always, by Kate Gainey.
Hello.
I'm Mike Buongiorno, and
I was supposed to do that.
It's all right.
He's Mike Buongiorno.
No, am I though?
If you want him to be.
Am I though? It's what a week it's been, huh?
Oh God, it's been that kind of week for everyone. Yeah,
it's funny if you know that we're recording this on a Monday. I don't think it's ever too early to start saying, boy, what a week it's been.
What a week, man.
I mean, at least in terms of work, if Monday really fucking sucks, it's rare that the week turns around. At least in terms of work. Maybe in real life it can. But if your Monday sucks at work, it's probably going to be a shitty week at work.
It's just carrying over into the rest of the week. Yeah, I've been out of like a standard work environment for so long now that like I don't know that I could agree or disagree with that statement.
When's the last time you had a standard work environment?
About 5 years ago.
What?
When I was pregnant with my son was the last time I worked like in a, you know, regular place.
What were you doing?
I was working reception at an animal hospital.
Okay.
But like, even when I was doing that at that point, I was doing it like so seldom. Like I would work, you know, short shifts on week nights and a couple of like, you know, standard shifts on the weekend. But it was such a sporadic thing that like the office culture never really overwhelmed me and stuff like that, you know? So I don't think it ever really got to the that kind of point where it stressed me out and, you know, could affect the way my week was going or anything. I haven't like work in a place other than my home or on a project I'm passionate about hasn't been part of my reality for so long. That's actually part of what I want to talk about today and like one of the biggest struggles I'm going through right now.
But wait, was there ever any times where like a dog would come in and they would be like, oh, I'm not feeling good. I'm really hurt. And you'd give them some kind of medicine. And then you'd turn around and you'd see that they were like smiling and you were like, you're a fucking junkie.
You're a liar. You're just here for the meds. There are humans who get their pets prescribed medications that they themselves would like to use. I will say that.
Motherfuckers.
Fuckers indeed. Because pets can be prescribed, you know, like anti-anxiety meds and things like that. Yeah, definitely have dealt with that situation, like in reality.
My new dog takes Dramamine if we have to drive anywhere too far.
Does she get car sick?
She gets car sick and then she throws up.
Oh, baby.
And then she says, I threw up.
I threw up. You want to hear a cute little baby Kate story?
Sure.
So when I was little, I threw up.
By the way, tune into our new podcast spinoff, Cute Little Baby Kate. Coming out Saturday morning.
Bananas, babies. I threw up and I was probably like 2 years old and like it was the first time I ever threw up and I didn't really understand what had happened.
Yeah.
So I told my parents that I spilled. I spilled.
That's fun.
Right?
I spilled.
Because that's what you did when you throw up. You spilled.
I mean, it's true. It's not wrong.
I was full of stuff and I spilled some of it out.
God, throwing up is, especially when you're a kid, right? Isn't it the worst fucking thing ever?
I'm not going to say, this is a strange thing. I'm not going to say I like throwing up. I don't. But I'm not one of those people that hates throwing up. Like, I know people that are like I had a stomach virus and the worst part is throwing up. Like, I'd rather throw up than the other option.
Well, it feels
And like,
great right after. It feels
that's the thing.
amazing right after.
It's sweet relief. And I when I get migraines, I get really nauseous and I throw up.
Oh, really?
And always, like the second I throw up when I have a migraine, it's like the fog lifts and I'm ready to just frolic through a field or like, write
Frolic
the great
through.
American novel or something. I don't know. It's like I've got a whole new lease on life.
One time, this is a long, long time ago, I'm on a lot of alcohol, and this was daytime drinking.
Oh
So
boy.
I seem to remember there being some sort of a punch flavor. So maybe it was some kind of a barbecue situation. There was some Randy punch, and I was very inebriated. And then we smoked some weed, and you know how smoking weed with alcohol sometimes is just chef's kiss, but then sometimes when the weed hits your brain, your tummy with the alcohol goes, I don't know if I
Oh
agree
no,
with this.
no. Yeah.
So I in my friend's bathroom, I throw up violently, but I had been trying to be healthy, and healthy at that point means work out overly intense for like every day in a row for a month and then quit and then drink a
And then
lot.
drink all day.
So I want you to picture this. I'm bent over. I'm throwing up violently, and as I'm throwing up, the sort of the purge of it makes me pull my groin.
Oh
Like, ah!
no. Oh no, you poor thing.
My friend comes, and I'll say his name, he's dead now. My friend Joe comes into the bathroom and he's like, what the fuck happened? And I was like, oh God, I'm like holding my crotch. And then the it wasn't going down, and then Joe was like, I know how to fix the I know how to fix it. And he fixed the fucking toilet,
Oh God.
and then he died years later of a drug overdose.
Oh
So
God. Ugh.
we had good times though, when we were in the shit.
Right.
He just,
Some people don't win the fight.
some people don't win the fight, but in the shit.
I mean, no one wins the fight. We all die at the
Oh,
end.
no, that's right. We all die at the end.
We all
Yeah.
die. Nobody wins. We're all
Yeah.
reaching the same finish line. Some
Right,
people
right, right.
just, get there differently.
Yeah, he used to have a drawer full of drugs.
Oh
And
God.
I remember one time he opened it and like a 1930s gossip columnist went, ooh, it's a veritable who's who of drugs.
I remember Joe. I remember meeting him like a
Yeah,
handful of times, and he was always very funny like that. Like would always say very like off the wall things that you wouldn't expect to come out of his mouth, and you're
yeah.
like, what? Yeah.
Oh boy. No, I haven't done.
So yeah.
I haven't done any drugs in a long time.
I smoked a little weed just a little while ago. So, oh, that's an alarm to take my meds.
What
Which
meds?
is another thing we're going to talk about. So,
Does weed affect your meds
yes, this is there's a whole there's a
negatively or
yes,
positively?
there's so much to talk about. There's so much to talk about. Because the American healthcare system is, what it is, I went through a lapse in insurance. I think I talked about this a little bit on our last episode.
Did you?
I might have, maybe I
Let me
didn't. Maybe
know.
I imagined
Let me
it.
know.
I
I
could have
know you
dreamt
and
it.
I have spoken about it. I don't know if it was on the air or not.
Oh, well. Well,
Which means it
so I
doesn't
went,
count and it doesn't
it
matter.
doesn't count. It wasn't real. Everything's made up. So I it wasn't a lapse in insurance. I still had coverage, but something had changed and the pharmacy wasn't filling my medication and whatever. I had spoken with my doctor before that and she didn't like the dosages I was currently on. She thought I was up way too high and it was time to start maybe figuring something else out or whatever. So I end up not able to get my medication for a while. So I've only got a little bit left. So I wean myself off of it because I know I'm not going to be able to get it.
Okay.
And so I am currently not on medication. I actually have an appointment tomorrow to be reevaluated and to get back on some sort of treatment plan.
Okay.
So it's been a doozy of a month, like weaning myself off of medication, being off of medication. It's been a time. It has been a time.
So then how does weed affect that?
So one of the first things that I was told when I started therapy, before I was even on medication, was that while weed can help initially with your anxiety and things like that, like prolonged usage could actually add to it, and you don't even realize that, when it's happening. And I also was told, I believe that the Wellbutrin I was on, that it's less effective, used in conjunction with marijuana. But it's also like I know I have a dependency. I won't say I have an addiction because I am able to drop it. I have plenty of times. I know I can. I don't feel it negatively impacts my life, this, that, and the other thing. There are reasons that I don't qualify it as that, but I do know I am dependent upon not just partaking, but the actual the effects of it. There is a therapeutic level at which I'm able to use cannabis, and it helps me manage anxiety and this, that, and the other. But now, being off all of my medication, I also want to try and be off of that self-medication that I've been doing for a while. So I'm trying to do that less, maybe eventually stop it entirely. I don't know. It's a process right now, but I'm kind of at this like drawing board stage where I'm like, okay, I did this certain formula for an amount of time and it worked for a little while and then it wasn't working anymore. So now I have to go back to the drawing board and I have to figure out what works now because that might not be what works now. That worked in my 20s, that worked in my earlier 30s. I'm getting to my mid 30s now, whatever. Things change. Not just life circumstances and whatever, but your chemistry changes. There are things that just change as you get older. And I think it's time to reevaluate my treatment plan and figure out what works for me going forward. Because what worked for me in the past got me here. Great, thankful for it. Now it's time to figure out what gets me further.
I think that's good. I mean, when I started smoking, like really seriously smoking, because it did calm me, and I thought like this is it, this is the answer, but the problem was, and I don't know, it might be different now because it's not illegal now, I guess. It wasn't like a pill that was always the exact same dosage or the exact same time. I didn't know what I was buying. I didn't know what I was getting. So like it was very hard to regulate it. And I found whenever I often would try to like wean off of it, but that never worked for me because I wanted it so bad. Often when I was like, oh, I'll have a little bit now and then less tomorrow. But like it was just I wanted a little bit now. Like the part of your brain, the part of your brain that is dependent or addicted, is really a motherfucker. It's almost its own sentient being that will convince you any reason to do it.
And it's integrated with habit. So
Sure, yeah.
it's your body has developed a dependency physically in some capacity.
Well,
Your
yeah.
body is telling you you need this thing at this time, or whatever. And it's also like, this is what I do when I'm X, Y, or
Yeah.
Z. It's part of the routine. It was part of what has made I'm obviously currently smoking, but anytime that I've quit smoking cigarettes, it's like I get in the car and it's like, oh, I'm in the car, time to have a cigarette, or whatever. It's these routines. And for me, having kids has broken up that routine a little bit because I don't smoke in the car with my kids. So when I get in the car, it's not, I don't have the thought of lighting a cigarette because it's my life is different now. So I think that that's going to be part of my journey going forward is rearranging some stuff in my
Habits become
life.
part of it.
Yeah,
With
to, you
me,
know.
smoking weed was so intertwined with disordered eating. So like the next, like if I like smoked, I mean, I smoked a lot every night, but often I would feel a hangover the next day, and that quote unquote hangover would be the fogginess of having smoked myself stupid and the pain in my tummy
right,
of having
from
binged,
everything you, yeah,
binged and ate so much sugar that I crashed, and now I'm like dying for sure. Like it was so integrated.
Because food can be so fun when you're high.
Right.
You get stoned and you're like, what would be more fun than making an ice cream sundae?
And,
or going
right.
out to McDonald's and going through the drive-thru? Like, that's the coolest thing I can think of right now.
And then for me, I would just keep going. My eating's always been a little disordered, but it was so disordered. Like, there were times where I was like, maybe I should go to the emergency room, or maybe I should throw up. Like, maybe I've really hurt myself. I've stuffed myself. So I've truly binge ate to the point where I'm sick.
Yeah.
And you're in pain and you hate yourself. And it was, I mean, it's still something I struggle with. I do it much, much less.
Mm-hmm.
But every couple months I'll have like a mini binge, not like a binge, but like, definitely that. And to me, I define a binge as I'm not hungry at all, but I have somehow, for some reason, told myself it's okay to have whatever I want right now. So I'm just sequentially going this thing, that thing, this thing. What else
right.
have I not had lately? Oh, a cookie? I'll have a cookie. What else have I haven't
yeah.
had lately? Chocolate? Then I'll have chocolate.
It's pleasure seeking. It's not hungry. It's
no,
not,
not even a
yeah.
little bit. Not
it's
even
what's going to make me feel good. And then you have it. And for a second, it's like, oh, this is delicious. And then you're just chasing that.
Right.
And it's not. And at the end, you're left feeling worse than you began with, because now you're physically sick
right.
too.
Right. And so, and it was such a weird cycle for me, because so much of my self-esteem and like self, my understanding of myself was or still is kind of tied up in my weight. So I'd smoke and then I'd eat and then I'd be like, you're a fat loser. I hate you.
Oh my God. Same.
The next day you're like, okay, I'm going to smoke today. But today, unlike every other day, I'm not going to overeat.
I'm just not going
to
binge.
And then the idiot next to you is like, we should get Wendy's. And you're like, that's a fucking brilliant idea.
You know what? We fucking should.
You know what? That's the smartest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. Yep. That's another thing. My eating habits have not been great. And I was actually talking about this earlier. I've gotten to a point where it's really not so much about appearance for me anymore. Like, I don't get me wrong. I'm not Lizzo. I'm a little insecure about myself. I'm not just the embodiment.
How many of us are Lizzo, though?
Oh, can I tell you that I went to a wedding the other night and I wore like a form-fitting dress, and I can't tell you how many times I looked in the mirror and I was like, I don't want to do this. And then I was like, I am Lizzo and I am beautiful and I'm going out in my dress.
Like a Patronus.
Yeah.
Like a spirit of fucking Lizzo came.
I cast me. Lizzo. And
it was
yeah.
like, it's going to be okay. Own it.
Oh, my child, you look beautiful.
Own it.
Yes, queen. Get out there. So, yeah. But my eating has been making me feel bad.
That's the problem.
That's where it is like, I can remember, like, and again, this is another thing that I think is coming with aging, and I don't want to lament aging. Aging is just a part of life, and I'm blessed to be able to do it. But I can't eat like I did. I can't. I feel it. If I eat poorly the next day, I feel my blood pressure rising.
Yeah.
I feel that it's harder for me to breathe. Like, I can tell the difference between a day that like I ate like shit and a day that I ate well. Like, my body feels it, and not just in the way that like, oh, my belly's sick or whatever. Like, my head hurts, my limbs feel
it really
weird.
Is fuel.
Like, just,
you're a car
yeah.
with no fuel in it.
I've filled my tank with Skittles or whatever, and it's like, it's
right,
not
right.
working.
Right yeah, like lately I've been throwing in vegetables. I haven't really been eating better, but like, I'll have a salad before I have the ice cream. And
yeah.
And like, I do feel better because there's some real thing that the system needs in there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pooping better. And it's like, oh, that's why I don't always have great like bowel movements, because
yeah.
I eat garbage.
it seems so simple, but like, I just think it doesn't hit you until it does. You know, like somebody could tell you it a million times that, you know, you are what you eat and all of that
Yeah.
crap.
It's
But it
worse when
doesn't
you're
hit you
older.
until it does. And then you're starting to feel like, oh, I'm what I eat.
It's
Like I'm
much worse when
putting
you're
crap
older.
into my body. Yeah. And so I feel
Yeah.
like crap.
Like when I was a young, when I was like 18 and like super fat guy, like I still had a fuck ton of energy. I still had a strong sexual libido. I still had like creativity. Like I could eat garbage and still go. Like now I feel it. Now my old
Yep.
body feels it.
That's what, we can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
We
What
don't
do we
operate
do?
like this anymore. Yeah. So, you know, talking about medication and stuff, just to get back to that and kind of wrap it up a little. So I have now been off of my medication for a little over a month, and it's the first time that since I've been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, that I haven't been on medication. And it's wild to me how I've been able to observe the peaks and valleys.
Wow.
So last week I was I have bipolar disorder type 2. It's characterized more by like states, like long periods of depression or mania versus quick switches between depression and mania. There are the quick switches or whatever that happen, you know, but more so it's a more elongated pattern. So over the last few I would say maybe like 3 or 4 weeks, I was in a really, really depressive state. Having suicidal thoughts, having to fight those all the time, you know, really needing to rely on my support network for help and encouragement and everything. I really felt completely incapable. It just felt like Eeyore with the cloud, you know, right above him, and like it was inescapable. And then yesterday, it felt like the fog lifted. And this morning I sat down and I made appointments with new doctors and this, that, and the other. But it's just incredible how different the same task felt to me a matter of days apart. It was impossible a handful of days ago. It was really, truly impossible. And speaking now from the other side of it, like I wish more people understood what that was like. Like I'm still this person. I'm still the same person I am in, you know, every state. And I'm still me. I'm still a completely capable person in, you know, generally speaking. In that state, I felt completely helpless and unable to do anything. Like I knew I needed to get to a doctor, but for every answer there was a million reasons that I couldn't do that thing. You know, okay, so the doctor, you know, the therapist you're at doesn't work, or the doctor you're at doesn't work, or whatever. Okay, so you go find a new one and you make some phone calls and you make an appointment. What? Okay, but I can't do that because if I find somebody, what if they're not good? And what if they use my vulnerabilities against me and this ends up worse? And it turns into all these paranoid thoughts and this spiral, and it's just impossible to get yourself out of it without help. It really is. It's you can't see, what is it, the forest for the trees? Is that the, like, you just cannot.
You can't step out. Like you like
No, there's no bird's eye
yeah.
view. There's no,
Right.
it's, I remember talking about it, a show that I had watched, and one of the characters talking about his depression and talking about depression as like this closed room. When you're in the room, you can't picture the outside of the room. Like there is only the room. You're in the room. That's it. Like you can't see. And when you're outside of the room, like you know what the room looks like. You know you've been there, but you can't picture the room either. You don't know the details of the walls and you don't know what color the carpet is or whatever. But when you're depressed, there is nothing but that room.
The way that I think about it is in the book, The Wizard of Oz, the Emerald City is actually not emerald, it's silver. But when you go there, they give you green glasses.
Right.
So, like, if you have the green glasses on, that's like depression because you have to keep telling yourself, this is an emerald. I know it looks emerald. I know it looked like emerald
Right.
yesterday. I just have to, my eyes or perceiving something, and I have to argue with my eyes and go, I know this is what you're seeing.
Right.
But just from memory, I'm telling you, it's not emerald.
That's not what it is. Yeah.
Right. And it would be like, I know that you think everything is fucking terrible and you're worthless. But just from memory, remember that this is your body that's making you feel this way.
Yep.
And that there you have felt other ways before, and you probably will feel other ways again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's kind of all you can do. It's all you can do. And it's very difficult to do.
It's horrible. And, it's horrible.
And, like, you know, there are things to help. There are medications, and there are meditations, and there are mantras, and there are coping techniques, and there's tapping, and there's all sorts. I mean, everybody's always trying to come up with a new way to just deal with that feeling.
Yeah.
But I just, it's so strange to, like, markedly feel the difference between
yeah
what I felt like last week and what I feel like today.
So okay, here's my question then. Was your life entirely like this, and now because you were on meds and now you're off meds, you have this clarity that you never had before, or things somehow different now?
So I think it's the former. So receiving my diagnosis was like, oh, like it felt like something hit me in the head. I was like, yeah, that's it. Like, that's the pattern my life has followed my whole life, even before trauma. I have bipolar disorder before I'm traumatized. Trauma certainly exacerbates it. But I definitely, I'm bipolar when I'm three. You know what I mean? Like, I definitely have been dealing with this my whole life. But I think it is the having been on medication and then now being off medication that's enabled me to see it this way, because I've never been able to observe it this way before.
Interesting. So can you go back in your memory and think about important moments in your life and sort of go, okay, I was down then, I was up then, I was down then?
100%. 100%. Like, there are certain points where I can remember, you know, I can remember, and it's a slippery slope, because, you know, when you're a teenager and stuff, you're also hormonal and you're dealing with, you know, just being a teenager and life stuff. But I can remember periods, especially in my teen years, where I would fall into a deep depression for a month. And then I'd come out of it and I would want to go out and have fun, and I'd be wacky and I'd be crazy fun party time Katie. And I would be that way for X amount of time, and then I'd be back in the hole. And the hole in, you know, like younger years when I was a kid or when I was a teenager or even in my early 20s looked a lot like seeking validation, self-harming, not always in, like, you know, the way that most people picture when you hear self-harm. It's not always, you know, self-harm manifests in a lot of different ways.
It's not always physical, you mean?
It's not always physical, and it's not always the most dramatic, as close as I can get to dying without killing myself, which is, I think, what people think when they think self-harm.
They think cutting, right? In movies, it's always just cutting.
Or right. Maybe, and like, you think, like
cigarette, burning yourself with a cigarette. That's what she does in Ginny and Georgia.
Yes, with the lighter. Yeah, and, like, those are obviously forms of self-harm that are valid and, you know,
cries for
help and all that. But there are so many other ways that people self-harm. And, like, for me, it would be things like I would wear my nails really long and I would dig my nails into the palms of my hands.
Okay.
And I would do that for as long as I could possibly tolerate it. Or doing things like having relationships with people that I shouldn't have.
Right.
And things like that. Like, self-harm, it manifests in a lot of different ways. And
bad eating could be self-harm.
Absolutely. Disordered eating is absolutely a way that I self-harmed for a very long time and probably still continue to. But yeah, I do look back on certain periods of my life and I can see, like, oh, clearly that was an upswing, or clearly that was a downswing. I can see myself, you know, making these crazy, you know, sporadic decisions and whatever. And then I look back and I'm like, you were manic. You were manic when you made that choice. Like, you should have sat on that for a minute. And that's not.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's okay. It's not to say that there are only those extremes, that it's only I am fully manic or I'm fully depressed. That's
Right.
not how it works. Like, yes, bipolarity insists that there are just, you know, insinuates that there are just two poles and that's it. But you're swinging. And yes, you're at the top of something sometimes. And yes, you're at the top of something some other times. But most of the time, you're in the swing somewhere.
So do you think weed affects you differently depending on where in the swing you are?
It's hard to say because, like you said, historically, I wasn't really able to know what I was smoking most of the time. I didn't know what kind of strain I was smoking and what kind of effect it would have on me. And now that I'm able to
have
that
whatever
control,
the guy had.
Oh, what is this? I don't know. It's weed. Like, I don't know. What kind of strain? I don't know. I don't know.
Or it's got some stupid fucking name.
They what still is have it very stupid
right
names.
Now? Oh, that's bubblegum Spider-Man, baby.
Exactly.
All right, I guess.
All right. It's good. Okay. I think now being able to be aware of and control what kind of strains I'm consuming helps me manage that. So it will affect what kind of strain I would smoke. If I'm more up, I might want something that's going to help me, you know, temper me a little bit more down. If I'm more down, I might want something that's going to maybe help me be more creative or something. So it definitely influences my choice, I guess, of what I would choose now. In the past, I'm sure it either, you know, alleviated or exacerbated things that, you know, I could have avoided if I were able to, like, handpick the strain.
So are you going to... So you don't know what you're going to take. You know that you're going to see the doctor and try to take something else, but you don't know if they're going to give you the same shit or not.
I don't. And so I've been working with my primary doctor because that's currently the only doctor I have.
PCP. PCP.
What they really want me to do, most importantly, is be evaluated for ADHD. They're like, go... like handle that.
Okay.
Pretty sure you need an evaluation. And I was like, okay. So that's on my agenda right now. Obviously I'm going to talk about the rest of my medical history when I'm being evaluated that could be taken into account. But I'm thinking and hoping that maybe we're gonna just try something different because I don't want to get to the same point with the same medications. You know, I don't want my body to just be getting used to stuff and, you know, for nothing to work.
I'm so dependent on like the medication I take. I've seriously had thoughts of what if Western civilization falls and we're like in a Mad Max time, how will I get my medicine? Will I be able to like break into a CVS and
a pharmacy,
fight off some zombies and like get a hoard of it? Or would I just like when the first zombies like fucking announced on the news, I'm like, well, it's happening. Let me wean off now.
Stock up.
Let me wean off now.
Right. Wean off before the zombies show up.
There's a zombie in Philadelphia. That shit's going to spread. You know how this goes.
This is the first time since being consistently on medication in my adult life that I have then gone off medication. And it's hard. It has definitely been hard.
I'm scared of it.
There have been times that it's been really, really fucking hard over the last, you know, month and a half or however long it's been. About a month and a half. Yeah, there have definitely been times that it's been difficult. But I have to say that I'm really proud of myself.
Yeah.
Because there have been times that I have been, like, almost consumed by, like, really negative thoughts.
And how do you get it up for your kids? How do you like, like, how do you like, when you're feeling like suicidal ideation down in a hole, how do you do, and you can't do anything, like, how do you feed them and like shit? Like,
I wish I could tell you.
Yeah.
I wish I knew where it came from because then maybe I could apply it to other things. I guess it's just an instinct, something like, I know these children won't survive if I don't do this.
But do you
I don't
ask,
know.
Do you say like, Will you say like mommy's unhappy right now, or will you like smile?
No, I tell my children if I'm having a hard day. I think, you know, so I don't want to overwhelm my children with the knowledge of all my thoughts and what that it's hard enough in my own head. I don't need to invite them into it.
They'll listen to the podcast at some point.
Yeah. When they're old enough, I'll just let them listen to this. But my daughter's a little older, so I can be a little bit more honest with her and, you know, a little bit more, give a little bit more of a full description, I guess. And she knows I have disorders that affect the way I think, and that sometimes it's a little bit harder for me to navigate that. I will borrow something that a friend taught me years ago that I have used ever since. I will tell her that the brain weasels are biting.
Yes.
That it's just, it's a difficult day. And that I'm going to do my best. And when it does end up affecting them, I talk to them about it. And, you know, it feels like a double-edged sword, but I can only do the best with what I'm given. So what I'm given is this brain that I have. And the only thing that I can really do is be honest about it. And I know in honesty and in a place of stability, I know that it's not a bad brain. I know that it just does some things that aren't quite right. The same way, you know, somebody might not be able to whistle or whatever, like different bodies are different. And this is one of the things about my body that's a little different.
I love that attitude. I think it might be a really good, like, affirming practice to, like, when your brain is, like, making you hate yourself and, like, feel suicidal thoughts. If you were just like, brain, you're being a silly goose right now.
Yep. Brain,
you are not being good at being a brain right now.
You silly little brain.
Oh, yeah, the world's over, blah, 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 blah. I've heard that from you before, haven't I, brain?
Yep. There is power in giving that, like, that voice a name or a character or whatever. It makes it dismissible.
Yeah.
It makes it something outside of yourself too, even though you're still acknowledging that it is a part of you. It's something that's not your fault.
And Brian.
It isn't.
Shut the fuck up, Brian.
Brian, really? Again?
Brian, shut the
again
fuck
with the
up.
Shit. Really? I just woke up and already it's I want to fucking die today. Great, thanks.
Oh, so dramatic.
So yeah, I try to be as honest as I can with my kids about this stuff, because the other part, and it's a very tough realization, and it's something that, you know, my life kind of fast-tracked before I was able to take a good stock of myself and, you know, get myself on track and whatever. And I know that that's the case for most people. Life just happens. But in all likelihood, my children will deal with some of these issues. It's not a guarantee, but it is likely that, you know, my children will suffer.
Because of genetics?
Because of genetics, and also because of their environment.
Yeah.
I can't help who I am. And who I am will manifest in the things I do and the things I say and whatever. And they're being raised by that. So I know that the things I do and say and the way that I handle my disorder is going to affect them. And if they have to face this in the future, I want them to know that all of it is okay.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I want them to know that it's okay that some days you don't feel good. And some days you do, get done what has to get done. There are other days you can go above and beyond and be the most fun person in the world and do all the things and make some headway and write or create or get some chores done or clean or whatever. And then there are other days where literally all you can do is make sure you stay alive. And that's okay. And that's okay. Not all your days have to be perfect. You are still just as worthy and just as loved and everything, even on the days where you're not firing on all cylinders or whatever.
Right. You know, the important thing to understand is that this is a podcast for entertainment purposes only, and we are not here giving you any kind of professional advice. So please don't take any advice from us.
Please
You know
don't.
what time it is?
It's that
It's
time.
time to tell me something good.
Tell me something good. So what's good? So I have been getting outside more now that it's nice out.
Nice.
Now that the weather is better, and that's really good. That is very, very good. There's a part of me that hates the whole like, oh, you feel depressed? Get outside and go for a walk. Like, fuck you. If I could just
Right.
get out of bed and go for a walk, I fucking would.
I could get out of bread. That'd be
If
great
I could get, I could never get out of bread. Put
too.
me in bread all the time. Tug me into bread. Little bread box. Anyway, I always feel better after a walk. Like I'll on, my stupid Snapchat sent to my friends, like myself walking out the door with a grimace on my face, like here I go on my stupid fucking 30-minute mental health
Right,
walk.
right,
And
right.
then like I always come home and I'm like, hey, I'm back
Right.
from my walk. It was really nice out. Like
It
it
always
helps.
works.
It does. And it's not always easy or even possible to do it. Some days you can't do it.
Right.
And don't feel bad about yourself. Don't feel like, oh, if I could just pull myself out of this fucking bed and go on a walk, I'd be fine. But I'm a piece of shit because I can't get out of my fucking bed and go on a walk. Because that's the other thing, is it sends you in a spiral because it's like, it's one thing. If I did the one thing. Anyway, it's okay to not be able to do it some days, but on the days you
Yeah.
can do it, it really is very helpful.
Yeah.
And, the way that my morning routine works, I have been able to get some good walks in the morning while
That's
it's nice
awesome.
out and still a little cool. And,
That's
I'm
awesome.
bringing my pup with me. She's getting some good exercise too.
Good for her. Good, good, good.
Yeah, it's good things for both of us.
That's awesome.
Tell me what's good.
Well, I have a couple good things. One is a very simple thing, but I think everyone will identify with it. I took off on Friday, and Monday is a holiday, so I'm gonna have a 4-day weekend.
Woo!
Sometimes that's all you fucking need to go.
That's beautiful.
This week at work will be so much better just knowing that it's gonna end on Thursday.
That's like the
Sometimes that's
epitome
all
of
you
like
need.
light at the end of the tunnel. Like it
You need
that's
that light at the end of the tunnel.
you do.
That's
You
what
need
makes
something to
Sunday
look
so
forward to.
depressing.
Oh, the light's
Right?
so far away on
Right,
Sunday.
right, right. You're leaving the
Lights behind you
light. Yeah.
and you can't turn around. That's wonderful. I think that's another thing, just to like piggyback on that a little. I think that's another thing that's helping my upswing is that I've been making plans of
Yeah.
things to look forward to because I haven't had any like plans set. So, one of my best friends lives in Ohio. And we try to see each other once a season. That's been our goal, like since we became friends, and we've done well with that for 5 years. But now I haven't seen her since September. And she and I are just suffering. We just want to see each other so badly. So I expressed that to my husband, and he was like, yeah, one way or another, you will see her this summer. Either we take a family trip out there and our families get to spend time together, or I go out there on my own and I get to spend some, quality one-on-one time. Whatever it is, I was promised that I will get there. And that was wonderful. With another one of my best friends today, I just sent them a text message and I was like, listen, I'm putting my foot down. We are picking a weekend right now and we're going to the beach. Because she and I, since we're children, just have so much fun at the beach together. We just enjoy being at the beach together. It makes us, I don't know, feel like kids or something. We spend time in the water playing and we'll play catch and do, like we love being at the beach. We thrive at the beach. So now I have a beach trip to look forward to at some point
Nice.
and a trip out to see one of my best friends. And so I think that is helping too. I think you always need to have some sort of plan,
I agree.
something to look forward to.
Important.
It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be a trip. It doesn't have to be,
I do little ones like every day. Like, I'll be like, tonight I'm gonna read a book, or tonight I'm gonna do this. I find that that helps me get through the day.
Yeah, that's really important, I think. And I think it's smart to do it that way, to give yourself, to be able to focus on like smaller joys that you will get to experience at the end of the day, not something you have to hold out for a long time. I actually also just realized, because I just noticed the date, I'm actually going away this weekend too with my husband.
Nice.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
We just rented like a little cabin in the middle of nowhere.
What's the exact address?
Nope.
By the time this comes out, the weekend will have been over.
So
So no one
I
can kill
mean,
you.
so nobody can post kill me.
My other good thing, and all right, I'm a little reticent to talk about it because I don't want it to come off sounding like bad. But so I think I mentioned before recently that I've been in a cycle of working out once a week because that's as much as because it's fun. I look forward to it. It's not getting in the way of everything else. It's like once a week. I know that any trainer would tell me once a week isn't good, but like I've said before, convincing me that working out 52 times a year is not better than working out 0 times a year.
Right.
So what I do when I work out is I do a little bit of cardio to warm up, then I lift weights, usually pretty heavy because it's once a week, so I can, I'm not tired, and then some more cardio. And I've been doing this since year started, and I'm getting bigger. And that's something I've never really experienced before. I've experienced getting fatter in my midsection, but like lately, like I'll put on a shirt and what doesn't fit is my shoulders or my back or my biceps. And
Look at you.
it's entirely different from anything I've ever felt before. And it feels, talking about the way you feel, it feels very good. I
Yes.
feel very alive. And very like, and like I can do shit. You know what I mean? Like, I feel
It's
like, yeah.
so amazing to feel strong and to see evidence of
It
improved
is.
strength. It really is. That's, and I remember talking to you about this at some point, about when I sat down with a personal trainer and they were asking, like, what are your goals? Like, I just want to keep feeling stronger, because that feeling, like
So
that
good.
feeling of putting on a shirt and like, hang
Yeah.
on, like this is snug in different places. And
Yeah.
it's like, I don't know, it feels really good. And it feels good to go to the gym and like, I've been lifting this amount for the last 3 weeks or whatever. Let me throw 10 more on.
Right,
And
right.
then that feels good that you can do that. And then
Yeah.
you do that for the next 3 weeks. And then you're like, well, let me do more. And like, that can still happen on one day a week, clearly.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
And
yeah.
it's still just as rewarding.
Yeah, it feels great. And
That's
it's once a
wonderful.
week is enough that it's fun.
Right, because you don't want it to be daunting.
Yeah. Like the people who like were, I mean, look, if it's fun for you to work out all the time or if you enjoy the lifestyle working all the time, that's fine. But for me, if it's not something I'm going to enjoy, I'm not going to do it consistently.
And that's self-aware, which is important too.
Yeah.
Because there are also people who think they like working out all the time, but really what they're doing is numbing something.
Yeah.
So it's
Right.
also, I think there is a something to be said about being self-aware enough to know how often
Yeah.
your mind can handle a workout.
Yeah.
Your mind can handle your body physically working out.
Yes. Do you have a question for me?
I do. So related to the, so I've been thinking about the how I can like feel these spirals coming on and whatever. Like, do it's a two-parter. Do you feel
Yes.
when like those are coming on? Do you accept it or go to your toolkit and try to figure out how you fight it?
That's a great question.
I think.
I think it depends on at one point I realize it. Because I think you can realize it at the very beginning and be like, oh, I see what's happening. Let me go to my toolkit. But I think you could be like knee deep in the shit. And then be like, oh, I'm having a thing right now.
Yeah.
And I think in those cases, it's better to just go, okay, I'm allowed to feel bad.
Right.
I'm not gonna put all this effort into feeling good, which isn't gonna work at this point. So I feel both bad and like I'm failing at work, feeling better. Like
Right.
I'm just gonna allow myself to feel bad.
That makes sense. I think I would agree with that.
Right? Cause sometimes it's, you know, it takes a, it's like we were talking about when like you're in a room and you don't realize there's an outside. Sometimes it's real. It takes a while before I'm like, oh, I'm clearly depressed right now.
Yep.
I don't know why it did not occur to me. Because no, why? Because the reason it occurred to you is because your brain works on trying to fix or trying to interpret information from outside. So you go, oh, I'm upset because my foot hurts because I have to do this.
Yep, you'll try to find any external reason
Right.
before you say,
Right.
oh, it's because my brain is fucking producing X, Y, and Z and making me
Right.
do this right
Right.
now. It will be every other thing. And
Right.
that furthers the spiral too,
Right,
because
right,
now
right.
you're focusing on everything that could possibly be
Right.
making you feel like shit.
And I actually, I typically feel some, I'm not happiness, but relief when I allow myself to feel bad.
Yeah.
Because there's a resistance of, I'm not feeling bad. I don't want to feel bad right now. Like when I went to Disney, I said to myself and to my partner, like, I have depression. So even though I'm spending $1 million to be here, there's probably to be at least one point in every day where I'm down. And
Right.
it's not your fault or my fault or anything. You're not responsible for it. Certainly
Yeah.
I am, but even I can't do anything. So I'll just, you know, do what I got to do. And then, you know, it may go up, it may not. And that's it.
Even in the happiest place on earth,
Of course.
it's gonna still happen.
Sometimes being depressed in a environment that is telling you're supposed to feel happy can be very alienating. When you're like, oh, I'm so fucking
100%.
depressed, and then Goofy's there, and you're like, what the fuck are you goofy about?
The fuck out of here with your floppy ass tongue.
What the fuck do you have to be happy about, you goofy fuck?
I love Goofy.
Me too. All right, so you
He's a
always
silly
say that
guy.
my questions are deeper than yours.
I do.
I don't think mine is deeper. It's maybe a little darker.
All right. That's fair.
All right, so if I die, do you continue the show without me somehow?
Oh, you're so mean. Why would you make me think about this?
Does
Jesus.
it help to tell you I would want you to?
Can I do it with a hologram of you?
Yeah, just like, well, AI is really getting good. So just
It'll
like,
be like Snoop Dogg and Tupac.
yeah, just put all the episodes that already exist into the AI,
Right.
and then there'll be a me.
Yeah. That's what I do. I think it keeps your memory alive. A la AI. Yeah, no, I think I would want to. This is not something that I would want to abandon.
Right. I agree. Yeah.
It's a baby. I'm not gonna just leave it on its own.
Yeah. If you died, I would definitely do like a nice special, like a best of Kate
Oh, thanks.
before moving on with whoever comes
Right, before introducing your replacement.
next. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I think that's fair. I think that's a fair answer. Yeah, no, I would continue it in some capacity.
Yeah, why
For
not?
sure.
For sure. For sure.
For sure.
Do you have a recommendation for our listeners?
So I like that for a little while now I've been recommending activities.
Yes.
And so I am going to recommend skating.
Like rollerblade skating?
Rollerblades, roller skates, ice skating, whatever is available to you.
Okay.
If you are able-bodied enough, get on a pair of skates. I can skate and I do it here and there. There's something about it, I think, that forces you to ground and be like aware of your body.
Yeah.
And once it requires that you get into kind of like a flow state with your body
Right.
and you just
Yes.
let things move. And I think it's a really meditative practice, and I think it's really good for your mind and body to kind of sync in that. And
Yeah.
I just think if it's something that people haven't tried, they
Yeah.
should.
That's
It's a
why I
nice
think
feeling.
there's so many fights in hockey, because when you're skating, you feel like I'm going, I'm in, and then if somebody stops that, you feel
The
right. It's like God's fighting.
fuck? Yeah.
No, that's a good one. You know what? I haven't skated in so long. You get older and you forget it's been a long time since you've done shit. I haven't skated in so long.
It's not a thing that I think normally occurs to people to
No.
go do. Even when you're thinking of trying to go out and do something, like you'll think of bowling or something like that, but like go skate. You
Yeah.
know, like it there's definitely either a roller rink or an ice skating rink somewhere near
Yeah.
you if you live, you know, in a moderately populous area.
Yeah.
Go do it. Like it's a lot of fun, and it's a really great way to connect with your own body. It's fun. It's okay to fall and be silly. Like
Right.
I
Yeah,
think
yeah.
it's a really, really good practice.
What made you think of it?
So what made me think of it, honestly, is my son skates. And he's young. And he deals with some overwhelming feelings and stuff like that. And he sometimes has trouble with adjusting to the rules on the ice. But in talking to him, I've noticed that like he really likes how he feels when he's skating. And it
Okay.
made me think about how I feel when I've been on skates and stuff like that. And it is this really harmonious kind of feeling between your mind and your body. And I'm
Yeah.
sure it's that way with a lot of sports or physical
Yeah,
activities or
yeah, yeah.
whatever. But I think there's just something about the flow of skating. It's very liquid. It's very, you know, you're
Yeah.
just moving and it's just your body flowing. I'm not talking about doing jumps and, you know, tricks and stuff like that. I'm talking about just moving forward, whether that's outside and you're, you know, breathing in fresh air or looking at the trees or going in circles around a rink. There's something meditative about doing that with your body and having to get into that flow state. Because at first, you're going to have to concentrate it on it. The first time you get on the skates, it's going to feel really friggin' weird. And you're going
Yeah.
to have to figure out how you move your body. You're going to have to be very conscious of it. And then at some point, it just becomes what your body is doing.
Okay.
And it's very peaceful.
Nice.
That's my
So go out and try
recommendation.
that,
Give it a go. And if you hate it, you fucking hate it. And you never got to do it again.
everybody. That's right. You did it.
You did it. And you can say, fuck that, I hate it. And I will never, never, ever do it again.
Well, my recommendation is quite different.
Pray
But you can
tell.
use your skates to get there. So I've been obsessed. This is funny because we talk so much about eating in this episode. I've been obsessed lately with Ralph's Ices, a specific flavor of Ralph's Ices, the peanut butter and jelly flavor.
Oh,
It is
Exquisite.
exquisite, perfect word. It is
The texture of the
exquisite.
peanut butter ice.
And then like real jelly in it. It's so good. And I always thought of it as like a Staten Island thing. We live in Staten Island. But I just looked it up and 9% of Ralph's Ices like outlets are in Staten Island. But there's 84 in the whole country.
What?
Yeah, it's not just a here thing. So if you got in Ralph's Ice near you, go fucking get a Ralph's Ice. Go get a peanut butter and jelly.
Did it start here?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because I feel like we all claim that.
Yes, it did start here. In 19
Wow.
in 1928.
And they've expanded that much.
Wow.
Look at
Wow, that's
that.
something Staten Island should be proud of.
Way to go, Ralph.
Yes. I'm specifically talking about the peanut butter and jelly.
Oh,
Oh,
yeah.
it's so fucking good.
Now that you've said it, like I feel the texture of the peanut butter
It
ice in my mouth and I want it so badly.
and
I'm very much about texture when I'm eating, and
me
that is a good
too.
one. That is a really good one.
You know, just recently in my life, I figured out how to eat chocolate.
Okay.
My dumb ass was like chewing it like
No.
a little fat boy.
Just chomping at it.
I've grown to learn. I've matured to like let it melt on my tongue. And that's the fucking way to do it. And I do that with the ice too. I just let the fucking peanut butter let it sit in
Oh,
my mouth a little bit.
so fucking good. Good shit. Yeah, peanut butter and jelly ice.
Put on your skate
Solid.
and fucking skate on over there.
Skate on down to Ralph's, which apparently you don't need to be in Staten Island to
Yeah.
do.
There's 84. There's one
I
by.
knew like they, you know, I knew they had expanded. I had no clue. 84. That's a lot.
I
Are
know,
they
right?
all in the Northeast?
Let's see. It's hard. There's Ralph's is also the name of like a chain of grocery stores in California. Ralph's Ices though. How many Ralph or Ralph's Ices in every state? Ices. Well, I know it is, but how
Ices.
many? I don't know. I can't see by state.
All right, I'm gonna have to dive deep.
I mean, I see here New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, Boston, LA,
Wow.
Austin, Washington.
Damn.
You might live in a state that doesn't have a Ralph's, but get your put on your skates and go on find
Skate
one.
across the border.
Or just have your make yourself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. How about that?
You do that.
Enjoy your
Throw it in the
fucking peanut butter
freezer.
and
I don't
jelly.
know. Peanut
Peanut butter and jellies are great.
butter and jelly is great. Really is.
They're fantastic. Like, why would you ever stop eating them? They're incredible.
I feel like every now and then I go through like a stage where I'll eat like a ton of peanut butter and jellies and then I don't have them for a while and then I'm like, you know what's really fucking good?
Peanut butter
Peanut
and
butter
jelly.
and jelly. Yeah.
You know what's good to have peanut butter and jelly on like kind of cinnamon
Brioche.
bread?
Ooh.
Brioche, ooh.
Ooh, PB&J on brioche. Chef's
Classy.
kiss.
Bringing the class.
Ooh.
I think of
Sometimes you gotta
brioche as
class up the
classy.
PB&J.
But grape jelly, right?
Yeah.
Strawberry jelly
Yeah.
could go fuck itself.
I like strawberry jelly. I do. But I like strawberry jelly like if I'm having butter and jelly on an English muffin,
Sure, yeah.
if I'm having like a cream cheese and jelly.
Correct. But peanut butter and jelly, it's great.
Requires grape jelly. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, let me ask you something.
Yes.
When you think of a jelly donut, what kind of jelly is in that donut?
Usually great, I think. But I gotta say, I hate jelly donuts.
Okay, you know why you probably don't like them?
Why?
Because they're not grape jelly.
What are they?
They're raspberry jelly.
No, I don't like that. See,
Yeah.
my problem is there's always 50% more jelly than I want there to be.
The ratio is off for you. Yeah,
It's
I
only
love a jelly donut, but they're like the standard jelly in a jelly donut is raspberry jelly.
How do you
So
feel
that's
about
pro.
Boston cream?
I love a Boston cream.
Do you really?
I do. I don't like a Bavarian cream. Or is it the other way around? No, I like the Boston cream. The Boston cream is the custardy one.
What's the Bavarian
Right?
cream?
It's like frosting. It feels like
That
a
sounds
fluffy
better to me.
frosting. Yeah, no. I prefer the custardy
I like
one.
a good eclair too.
Ooh, boy howdy.
All right. Well, let's stop before
On
we start
that
talking about food.
note.
Well, Kate, this has been a lovely episode. Thank you so much for sharing.
Hey, thanks for being there for me to share with.
Everybody, thank you for listening. You mean the world to us. If you
Truly.
ever want to, reach out to us in any way you can.
Yeah.
We'll see you soon.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye, everybody.